Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Bothell Aston and you are listening to a limited podcast series on design thinking, created in partnership with Advance HE. Today's guest is Larissa Kennedy, the current president of the UK National Union of Students. She held a series of leadership roles at Girl Guiding UK, Plan International, British Youth Council and Youth for Change. During her time as Education Officer and Deputy President at the Warwick Students' Union, she founded the Warwick Decolonise Project. Larissa and I worked together on a number of student voice projects at Warwick, and she was involved in some of the early pilots of using and shaping the Warwick Secret Challenge. I was really interested in her candid viewpoint on the connection between student activism, power and design thinking. Larissa, welcome. Thank you so much for finding the time.
Thanks for having me.
I know how busy you are. It's such an honour to have you on this podcast.
I'm excited.
So let's talk about some of the biggest changes and shifts that you might have seen in student engagement over the last few years. What's going on with student engagement and student voice right now?
I think it's such an interesting time for, you know, student engagement in the broadest sense of the word, because I think the pandemic has seen a complete shift in students' agency over their education, over the way they learn, where they learn, what they learn. And in a time where it felt like a lot of things were, and a lot of decisions about those things were shutting down on students, actually, students have, you know, pushed it wide open. And, you know, we've seen the biggest wave of rent strikes in the history of the student movement. Yeah. We've seen students, you know, completely taking on care responsibilities for one another, thinking about, you know, the ways that we've seen the pandemic pop up these spaces for collective care. We've seen students really, you know, working alongside their lecturers, their professors and so on to make things work throughout these past couple of years. And I think that's really given people a sense of, wow, there's something in this. There's something more. There's a way that we push the boundaries of how students can, you know, co-create and co-shape their education in a much more transformative way than perhaps we were talking about 4 or 5 years ago. And it's an exciting time, I think, for students, but also for the sector more broadly.
Absolutely. And I think there are so many different opportunities where students could be co-creating the stuff. Like you said, it's not just about the curriculum or other kinds of co-creation, but actually that empathy that I think really came through during the pandemic, where people were looking after each other in different ways and just getting to know other students, but also different staff at university on a different level. And I think there's something that really shifted how we now see co-creation and working together with staff and students. I hope it continues.
Yes, exactly. I think there's so much momentum for it to continue as well. I don't think we would see it halt here. I think students have got a taste of, you know, how can I shape what this looks like? How can I get involved and feel like part of my education system rather than feeling like a number or a statistic? Which, you know, when you hit university, often you're in this big space and you feel so overwhelmed. And once you're getting to be able to get stuck in that way, I think you feel like more of part of a community, and it's exciting to feel like that.
Absolutely. I definitely feel like the ball is in the university's court, and I think it's now up to, you know, the universities to kind of build on that engagement, that interest, that willingness from the students. Do you think there's anything universities really should be doing right now or aren't doing right now that they should be doing?
Definitely. I mean, I think there is so much that we can learn from things like emergent strategy, where it's like if you trust people to actually design and imagine and create and build things, then magic happens, right? And I think so often universities are making decisions about students' lives and about students' education and all of these other things, and then that's trickling down to students. And I think through the pandemic, we saw some of the backlash to that, and we saw how it wasn't so well received. And actually, when students get to make those decisions or be involved in the making of those decisions, there is such a difference. And I think it's time for institutions to start ceding some power, to start seeing that students can be making those decisions alongside staff, alongside communities. I think it's high time that we start moving towards those more transformative approaches to creating our spaces of education, and not just in terms of what we learn, but also thinking about you know, how we interact with the local community, thinking about how we make decisions about what's happening to our campuses, you know, all of these things. So for me, I think the core of it all is it's time for institutions to start seeing that power, to start recognizing students as agents of change, and, you know, doing that as quickly as possible. It's, I think it's almost a shift from engagement to power for me. And, you know, thinking about, yes, you can engage someone and you can tell them like, this is your plan and they can get involved with it. But you can also recognize it as their plan too. And I think that's really, really important.
Yeah. There's also a great deal of overwhelm and burnout that students are dealing with right now, especially, you know, emerging out of the pandemic. They had to change a lot. They had to switch their mindset and how they're learning. And I feel like that's to an extent now becoming one of the excuses why engagement isn't happening, because our students are not forthcoming, or we not have enough students engaging, or we don't have enough diverse students engaging. What is your answer to that? You know, what would you, again, say to the universities? Is there something specific that people should be doing? Or perhaps you've seen some good examples of institutions that have done something really well in this area.
I mean, I think it's really interesting when people say that students aren't engaging, because you know, this is a time where we've just seen a groundswell of students fired up, talking about their education system, talking about the things that need to change. And if that's not translating to institutions, then I think we have to recognize where the problem is, right? It's like, what is the feed through? And so often students' unions are bringing these fresh ideas about, you know, how we can bring students in and really, you know, taking those barriers away. But because of the bureaucracy and the way that things work, often it's really difficult to feel like part of that change. So I think where I've seen really great stuff, I think we have to look at the way that students engage other students and learn from that. Like, there's a reason that loads of students have been engaged in campaigning work in the past year. It's because, you know, people have been having those conversations about how we reimagine education, rather than kind of trying to tweak at the edges of kind of some of these foundational issues, some of the assumptions that our education system has. That's what design thinking is, right? It's like taking away all of these assumptions that we make. And often that's really hard to do in the existing structures. And I think sometimes it's important, you know, just as students are, for institutions to step outside of what we know to be, and to think about what's actually possible, because it feels far off and it feels, you know, so far out from what we have now. But in doing that, I think you engage far more students. And I think that's really indicated by the way that student campaigning has, you know, really taken a life of its own in the past couple of months and years. So I think there's a lesson to learn there of how can we start to actually dream up a different kind of education system, and then work backwards and do the things that we can within the scope that we have to move towards it.
Do you think that requires alternative approaches to student engagement? Universities have this portfolio of SSLCs and focus groups and, you know, different kinds of barometers and surveys. Do you think those tools are relevant, or do we need alternative approaches to student engagement and student power, as you say?
Oh, you mentioned surveys. Students are tired of surveys. I get it. But so what we're essentially doing is like reducing students down to numbers. You know, I said it in the pandemic, like sometimes it feels like students are seen as pound signs, not people. They're seen as numbers, not people. All of these things, because you're a tick box, right? You're filling out these things. But at the end of the day, as a student, so often it feels like you're going through the motions, and then you're ticking the boxes, and then you're out. And then, you know, the next set of students comes along and do the same thing. And so I think we need to be a bit more ambitious with how students can actually be involved in their education system. It's not just about something that, you know, is being delivered to us. It's about something that we are involved in. And I think once we step away from those quite, you know, removed versions of how education is delivered, and where students are essentially treated as though they're like customers that are receiving some sort of product. And that's just not what education is, right? The best education is when you are part of the process and it's a living, breathing, evolving thing. And, you know, we've definitely seen pockets of that. And it's just a shame that we can't see more of that because of the way that we're often so stuck in our ways when it comes to, you know, the models that we have.
Absolutely. And you mentioned emergent strategy earlier, and I'm a huge fan, particularly in the context of education. And I wish more people were reading the work of Brown and and applying that to curriculum design and to how education works as well. You know, her work is rooted in activism, but I feel like there's so much to be learned and applied to education and co-creation as well.
100%. I'm so like, that's so exciting to me. The prospect of applying emergent strategy to education is really, really exciting to me, because I think at the heart of it, we're talking about the power of like living the thing that we're dreaming of every day and creating it that way. And I think if we just started to think about education that way, how can we start to see power in small ways, flipping the classroom in small ways, thinking about like, okay, we've got these huge board structures and all of these things that are pretty removed from students, if we're honest. Like, how do we start to do things like town halls? And, you know, some of those did happen during the pandemic, which was really exciting. I know quite a few students' unions hosted town halls where universities, senior managers, board members, vice chancellors could come and, you know, be held accountable in a way that was about building community and community agency over education. And those things are, you know, pretty simple and pretty tangible, but there's often so much resistance to them or hesitation to do them because it feels so different from what we're doing now. But I think those shifts are going to keep coming, and I think the pace of them is going to, you know, get even quicker.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think we also need to look at it as cultural change. And I think sometimes there's this impatience, particularly when trying out new things or, you know, trying to engage students in new ways. Sometimes things happen really, really quickly, like you said, and sometimes things take a little bit of time, but that doesn't mean that things don't work or the students aren't noticing the effort in those new spaces that are being created for them to voice their feedback. But I think we need to be patient as well.
Exactly. And I think it's a mixture of, you know, making this happen and making it happen with pace, but also recognizing that, you know, not everyone encounters these things in the same way. Like, how can we make things easy? I remember being a sabbatical officer at my union, and people would talk about like hard to reach groups of students and would be like, they're not hard to reach. The university is the thing that's like hard to access, right? Like, it's about flipping what we see as the barrier or who we see as the issue. And I think sometimes when students aren't engaging, I'm doing this in quotation marks, but you can't see that. But like, when students aren't engaging with these models that we have, we're like, oh, you know, we'll fix that problem. But actually the problem is the system of engagement, right? And it's really difficult to get people to block themselves into these models where you have to, you know, go into a room and you often feel really out of place because it's like really overwhelming that you've got like people in suits and all of this stuff. But actually students just want to feel like this community reflects them. And right now, if we're honest, a lot of those spaces where those decisions are being made don't reflect students or even staff on the ground often.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a bit about design thinking. Why do you think design thinking can have a role to play in some of the shifts that are happening now? You know, why is it relevant and timely?
Oh, it's so timely. It's so relevant because I think, you know, if we think about the models of education that we have in the kind of macro sense, like, we have all of these assumptions that are funneled into our education system, an education system that assumes that we are 18 years old, that we are white, that we are cis, heteronormative, that we are non-disabled, that all of these things that are assumed about students as we're navigating these spaces. It assumes that we don't have caring responsibilities and all of these things. And of course, there have been kind of adjustments made to, you know, support students who don't fit into those categories. But overwhelmingly, those tweaks haven't changed the kind of foundations of our education system. Even the assumption that, you know, we have 3 or 4 years to dedicate to degrees that we can take away from the rest of our lives is a massive one, I think. And so often we don't get the time to interrogate how isolating for particular groups of students this entire system is. When we zoom into, you know, smaller issues that pop up from those foundations, I think we have to strip all of those assumptions back and actually go to what we need. And that's hard to do unless you have the time and space that design thinking allows for removing those almost goggles that we put on when we're looking at education without realizing it. So yeah, I think it's absolutely necessary.
Do you have an example of maybe fresh thinking or interesting good practice that you've seen in an institution or perhaps in student leadership over the last few years that perhaps could help people listening to this see what really are we talking about here?
Yeah, I definitely. So I'm thinking about there's one student union. I won't name which because I don't know if they would want me to share the story, but I think they'd be fine with me sharing it nameless. But there was one student union who they were doing all of this work prior to the pandemic and funneling all of this time and energy into you know, different systems of support for students, and all of that kind of got thrown up in the air with the pandemic. And I think they just stripped back to, okay, what do students actually need right now? And so they ended up funneling all of their union's resources into individual calls to students during the pandemic. And it sounds really, really simple. But actually, the response was wild. Students were so shocked that someone cared about them enough to ring them up. And my initial reaction to this story was, I don't pick up the phone. I don't do that. But literally, these students who were completely isolated and felt like no one cared suddenly had someone at the end of a phone who just wanted to ask them about their day, wanted to ask them if there was anything they needed, wanted to ask how they could help. And it made such a difference and ultimately meant that they had a way more engaged student population, and that ended up being repeated at different SUs across the country, and it was amazing. And I think that kind of thing where in a moment of need, and of course the pandemic made this so much more visible, but I think there are different circumstances where this kind of thing is relevant. But in a moment of need, stripping back, what do people actually need right now? What is going to really evoke that sense of care? What is going to make people feel like more than a number? And that was it. That was the answer. And it was just incredible.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that's where the touch points to design thinking are really there for me, is that first step in design thinking is empathy, right? Mm-hmm. Really understanding and caring about the needs of the people that we are solving for or creating for. And then the next step is define, redefine, sharpen the key questions that we are trying to address. And are we making assumptions about what people need rather than empathizing and really understanding what is the actual need? And I think it's so important to, even if you don't necessarily want to practice design thinking in its entirety, but actually building on some of its fundamental principles of empathy and sharpening those key questions, you know, like in the example that you've given, straight away, the result is amazing. It doesn't even have to be the full process.
Literally that. I just wish more people had the, I guess, headspace to do that thinking and to take a step back. And yeah, it's just incredible.
Yeah. So what would be your advice to anyone, you know, new to design thinking or these alternative approaches to student engagement? What would you advise them at the start of their journey?
At the very, very start of the journey, I would say if you're trying to strip back those assumptions, if you're trying to strip back those things that, I guess, when we put our goggles on of how we see the world, start by talking to students and student officers. Like, just start there, because I think it's so easy to produce something for someone or to do something to someone without, you know, just starting from point A, which is like, who are the people that you're doing it for? How do we bring them in from the very beginning? How do we not only ask them what they want, but give them agency over its creation? And I think it's really, really important that this isn't about, you know, doing for or doing to, which is often what we experience as students, but doing with. And so that would be my first piece of advice, is doing with and using that as a kind of you know the bouncing off point of something that you can springboard from, and I think the ideas flow from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've mentioned Adrienne Marie Brown and emergent strategy. Is there anything else that you think people listening to this could and should be reading or engaging with to broaden that perspective and start thinking about student engagement in a different way?
Ooh, reading. Yeah, I mean, definitely start with Adrienne Marie Brown. Anything that Brown has written, I recommend.
I've got Holding Change, and it's on my shelf. I need to do it.
Literally, I'm looking at my shelf now. I'm like, what can I recommend? Because half of this I haven't read yet. But yeah, I mean, I always have to recommend Black feminist texts that talk about reimagination, because I just think there's something about our day-to-day lives and the busyness of them and the pace that we're moving at that we don't get the opportunity to actually get to the broader kind of foundational issues that we have to tackle. We're always kind of trying to tinker at the edges, and I think it doesn't give us the space to deal with what people really, really need from this. So literally anything about reimagination. I always go back to How We Get Free, which is edited by Kianga Yamata Taylor, and it goes back to the kind of Combahee River Collective, who were around in the kind of 60s and 70s, and gets them to reflect on those journeys. And I guess I just use that as inspiration in terms of how we center care in this work. And I think, as you were saying, like, empathy is so central to design thinking. And so, yeah, if anyone wants to get into that and thinking about how you can start shaping your policies, practices, your development, your design around care and justice, then I would definitely recommend that.
Amazing. Any other final words of wisdom that you would like to leave the listeners with?
I don't know about words of wisdom, but I guess the only thing I would really say is that, you know, the shifts that we're seeing in the way that students engage with their education, I think those are so rooted in this pandemic showing us that, you know, sometimes what we think is impossible can be made possible. And the journey that students are on is about not just, you know, begging other people to make changes or begging the government to make changes, but actually is about building and seeing our collective power as students, as staff, but also as local communities to reimagine what the education system is and could be, to be incredibly ambitious. And, you know, in those examples, whether people agree with them or not, where students have used campaigns to engage people, from rent strikes to systems of care to all of these other examples that we've seen at a kind of grassroots level on a smaller scale, I think it's important to take what we can learn from them, which is that as soon as students get the opportunity to look beyond what we're told is possible, to think about, you know, those other possibilities, it is exciting and it is fun and it is engaging, because there's a sense of agency there. And so I'd say to anyone listening, if you can start to see power, if you can start to give agency back to students over their education system, then do it, because you definitely will not regret it.
That's a great one to leave us on. Larissa, thank you so much for your time and wisdom and all the advice that you've given in this episode. I really appreciate it. And I'm walking away inspired, but also like, okay, I need to do more. I need to educate myself more. So I hope our listeners will walk away from this podcast feeling energized, but also, you know, determined to learn more and do more for the students.
Thank you so much for having me.